The first thing we're going to cover is what is Dramatica all about. It's about a central concept, a concept called the story mind. The concept is that every single story, every complete story, is an analogy to a single human mind trying to deal with an inequity. Why would we have a story mind? Why would a story mind even exist? Certainly no one sat down telling stories around a campfire in prehistoric times and said, hey guys, let's create an analogy to the mind's problem-solving process. I highly doubt that. On the other hand, when you are beginning to communicate in any culture, the first thing you do is you come up with some symbols that other people understand so that when you move this way, you sign language or say this, you come up with words, that they will understand what it is you meant. So when you're communicating, the first thing you have a reason to communicate for is that maybe you have people you care about and you know there's something dangerous out there and you want to let them know, hey, you don't want to go over this hill because there's a bear living down there in the cave at the bottom of the hill and it's very dangerous. Do not go in there. Okay, this is what you want to do. On the other hand, you may want to tell your enemy, hey, there's some food down at the bottom of the hill right inside that cave. So, you know, you may want to do this for people you don't like about. So the reasons that are altruistic and also reasons that are all too real, both of those could be used to convey information. They would be a motivation to convey this information. Now, when you start out, you're just talking about where things are, the good things and the bad things. This is a location. This is where to find it. But when you get a little more sophisticated, you start talking about the processes that are good processes. In other words, if you sit here for hours on end rubbing two sticks together, you'll end up getting a fire. That's a way to do it. So to describe the process, you're not just saying, here's the location of something. You've moved a step up from just looking at the world as a collection of places, and now you're looking at it as processes that go on in those places. And you can actually say after a while, this process leads to something good, and this process leads to something bad. When you take that approach, you're essentially making a statement. You're saying, if you go through these steps, and you go from here to here to here to here to here, you're going to end up here, and that's a good thing. So, if you want to get to this good thing, follow these steps, follow this path, and you'll get there. Or, if you take these particular steps in this way, you'll end up getting to something bad, so you don't want to do that, so stay away from that bad thing. Don't take those steps. When you're making a statement, that's what we call spinning a tale. You spin the tale, and you tell this tale, and it's simply a statement. There's no argument with it. People can say, you're full of baloney. I don't believe you. But what you said makes sense, that here's one step that, yes, you could get from point A to point B. If you go down to the river, yes, you could step over on the other side. And if you step on the other side, yes, the forest is over there. So if you say you went into the forest next, that's conceivable. I can see you doing that. They can follow the connections all the way through in the linearity. And then at the end is the message, which is kind of a holistic view, that if you follow this sequential progression, you'll end up with this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or with athlete's foot. It doesn't really matter. The point is that by following these procedures, and that's how you end up with a lot of the traditions that we have in our society, that's how you end up with a lot of the belief systems that we have, a lot of the rituals that we go through, is they all started by someone making a statement that this will lead to good things or this will lead to bad. But it's just a statement. Now, what kind of power can you have as an author if instead of being able to warn people off of just this one instance or to share with them a good thing that only works for this one particular path that leads to the bush with the berries on it, what if you want to say every time you come to a river and cross over and there's a forest over there, you're going to find just inside the forest some berries? Well, that's no longer saying this particular path is going to lead to this particular place. This is now saying, in all such similar cases, this approach is a good one because it will lead to something good at the end. That's no longer a statement, that's an argument. But you haven't really made an argument yet, you've just proposed an argument. If everybody buys it, well, you're off the hook. But if anybody sitting there in your audience says to you, oh, okay, well, maybe, but what about this particular situation? And then you have to say, well, in this particular situation, such and such and such and such, which is why it still holds true. And then they could say, well, okay, what about this particular situation? Somebody else in the audience has had some other kind of experience, and they say, what about that? And you have to then counter that rebuttal. So the audience sits there trying to give you rebuttals because they're not going to accept anything as a blanket statement, true for all time, unless you've proven to their satisfaction that it is true for all time. This works fine as long as you can be there to tell the story. But when you are not there to tell the story, when it becomes a verbal tradition, when it becomes a written piece of text, when it becomes a ballad in a song, suddenly you are not there to give the rebuttal. Meaning that if all you do is make the statement that this is the way this happened, and it holds true for all such similar cases, nobody's going to buy that argument because you can't counter any of their rebuttals. So what you need to do is include in your recorded document, whether it's a motion picture or a teleplay or a stage play or a book or a song ballad or a four-panel cartoon, it really doesn't matter. Within the scope of what you're trying to argue, you have got to include all of the counters to all potential rebuttals within the piece itself. And when you have mapped out by putting in all those counters, all the ways the audience can look at the problem, potentially, you've mapped out all the ways anybody could look at the problem when you have a complete story, and effectively you've created an analogy to the human mind's problem-solving process, quite by accident. Nobody set out to do it, and as stories evolved, they became more and more detailed, with more and more resolution, more and more complex, and dealt with deeper and deeper levels until we've reached a point today where the most complex of stories effectively cover all of the points of view any of us can come up with.